gentlemen, to part two of this fourth episode of Good Areas Knockout. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. With me, like before or yesterday, here's Cheyenne, who you can find at Tweets by Cheyenne. He helped Jared with the book. He was lead researcher. And then, of course, there's Jared and Varun, who you can find everywhere and nowhere. And we need to continue with the remainder of all of these rounds for this knockout. So let it rip, Varun.
Saeed Anwar versus Kumar Sangakkara.
Oh, two left-handed batters. See, now, Saeed Anwar is someone who Jared actually discussed with me a lot. Should he be in the book? Mm. Should he not be in the book? But then you've got him up against Sangha, who, here's my favorite Kumar Sangakkara fact. By the way, he's a unanimous pick over here, just for our audio listeners. The batter with the highest batting average amongst the 10K club is Kumar Sangakkara, with an average of 57.4. And that dropped towards the end, because Ashwin like kept getting him out. So he would have had like an average of 58 or something, I'm guessing, if not for that last series. But yeah, one of my all-time favorite batters, Kumar Sangakkara. When I met him in Lords, I almost teared up. And then I came back home to Jared and told him the story.
Yep. And I've heard the story from other people in the press box who were watching Behram. One day we'll do a podcast about Behram meeting Kumar Sangakkara. I'll get Kumar Sangakkara to come on and tell the story about meeting Behram. Just on Saeed Anwar, he wasn't picked for about 2 years when he should have been playing Test cricket, when I think he's dominating first-class cricket. And then his career finishes too early on the other end. I reckon Pakistan missed out on 6 years of Saeed Anwar. And I don't think people remember, because he only played for about, 8 years maybe at his best. I don't think people know how good this guy was, because there's no body of evidence. And I think he's a better player than Muhammad Yusuf, right? Like, I honestly believe that. But I don't think he has a better test career than Muhammad Yusuf.
Would you say Saeed Anwar really is a better test batter than he's an ODI batter?
It's an interesting
Saeed Anwar,
because he's an ODI great.
Yeah, he's a great. Yeah. That's the thing.
That's what I'm asking.
If we ever do the all format batters, it'd be really interesting to see where he goes, because I think he's a fascinating case. But yeah, I think he was a better test player than an ODI player, and I think he was a really good ODI player.
Yeah, and he has this really weird record in tests, where he just goes and scores tons of runs away from home. Like, he has all of these hundreds away from home in winning causes.
Behram picks him in the greatest openers on Crick Picks, and everyone slaughtered him in the comments.
Oh, did that happen? I don't know. We've recorded so many Crick Picks now. So if we're doing greatest openers.
And also, Behram gets flagged off in the comments so often. He can't remember every time.
Honestly, it's not even a thing anymore. I'm probably getting flagged off in the comments right now. Someone is writing something down. Anyway. Tough luck, Saeed Anwar. But yeah, Sangha always goes through over there.
Yeah.
So not next Sangha, one... not Jason Sangha, Sangakkara. Yeah.
Brian Lara versus Zahir Abbas.
Let's just quickly do the final rights over here, guys.
Yeah.
Because that's there's an easy only one right answer. And I'm not trying to throw shade at Zahir Abbas, but Brian Charles Lara is one of the greatest test batters of all time. So
It's interesting, because he was called the Asian Bradman Abbas. But if you look at his numbers, I think there was just a couple of years where he was brilliant. And then he doesn't really peak on either side. He was a fantastic player. Like, there's no doubt about that. But I don't think we ever actually saw the best of him. People talk about him.
Zahir Abbas's ODI record is ridiculous. Like, you look at it and you're like, how is this real?
And I think it's a lot of format overlap. People remember him, especially those games. Remember, that was when games were actually televised. Like, that was the start of games being televised. And so there's lots of highlights in other countries of Zahir Abbas batting, whereas previous Asian players don't have any highlight. We don't even know what some of them looked like in other countries. We just never saw that. But because of, Abbas was playing for the World 11, I think, in World Series cricket and everything. Like, he was a major dude.
Another guy who,
but for
Sunny
a short
G,
period.
Sunny G rates him really highly. I've seen a bunch of videos in which Gavaskar is just going on and on about Zahir Abbas. And they're buds, right? He calls him Zed. But he's also someone who has, over 100 first-class hundreds? So that does tell you that there was pedigree over there, right? So
no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Fantastic player.
Joe Root versus Hashim Amla.
See, the fact that we've got players like Michael Clarke go through, and one of Joe Root and Hashim Amla will have to also be eliminated.
That's the beauty of knockouts, isn't it? And it's one of the main reasons we don't see knockouts on international ICC tournaments.
This is a really tough one. And I reckon had Amla retired earlier, maybe my answer would have been different. But yeah, I'm going Root. And everyone's gone Root. It's unanimous. Amla's out. eliminated.
I think Umler is fantastic, and I don't know if he's an automatic top 50 batter of all time. He's probably just below that. But I love his record, and I loved watching him play. I thought he was just a fantastic player, all things considered. Yeah. So there was you know, but he's Root's just a lot better. Root is miles ahead of Umler, and I rate Umler really highly.
Yeah, and Root might end up like, we don't even know where he will end up, right, in this list eventually, because he's still ongoing. Thing with Umler is, I think he's another one of those peak players. The peak lasts for a bit, but on either side of the peak, he's not too impressive, is he?
Yeah, he's definitely a peak player. He's really good in Australia and India, from what I know. Even in England, yeah. That's three big three nations. He was really good in all of those countries. But I think the interesting thing with him was that he wasn't that great at home. Like, compared to his away record, he wasn't as impressive at home. So that sort of like hurts his record a little, but I think I rate Umler higher than Jared. So I would say he is an automatic rate for me.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, he was really easy on the eye, and unfortunately, he's out.
Great ODI batter.
Anyway. Yes. No. Yeah. Underrated ODI batter. Okay.
All right, so AB de Villiers versus Everton Weekes.
Okay. I think this should be fairly straightforward as well. And...
Well, you say that.
Well, he's gone. Yeah, it is straightforward. It's unanimous. AB de Villiers is through. Everton Weekes is gone. So out of all the Ws, we haven't really, like, they're all gone, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all fantastic. But there is an element of, if everyone is averaging roughly the same, you know, it's not.
Plus, AB is a tough guy to come up against because he's got all the gears. He can be versatile in the sense that he can participate in a blockathon in India and then absolutely take your bowlers apart elsewhere.
Yeah, look, I think Weekes was fantastic. But as I said earlier, I do think that he made a lot of runs in a few key matchups that kind of make his numbers look a lot better than they were. But I still think he was a great batter. I don't have any question with that. But AB was just a different level than him.
Yeah, AB was AB. Mr. 360. Anyway, all right. What's the next matchup, Varun?
Kane Williamson versus Alistair Cook.
Ooh, this is a really interesting one, right? Because there is a flaw in Kane Williamson's record. Ah, screw it. I don't know what I've done over here, but here we go. Oh, got a split, and both Jared and Cheyenne have gone for the chef. Alistair Cook is through. I voted Kane Williamson, guys, but he's been knocked out, and I know why they've knocked him out, because of his record away from home, particularly against the very best teams.
Yeah, fun fact. I think he's the first cricketer I ever met.
Oh.
Yeah, I was at the semi-final where it was England v South Africa. I got an autograph signed by him. That was fun.
I've met him as well. I've shook his hand once. But, you know, despite the fact that Kane Williamson might be a home track bully, I still feel that if he's averaging 65 or whatever in New Zealand, I'd still put him higher than Cook.
Yeah, also sexy man. It's not the home track. Incredibly good-looking lad.
Yeah, both of them.
They're both.
Kane's cute. Not much like, Cook is hot.
Cook is like the Nathan Johns of cricket players. Have you ever
such
seen
a chiseled
Nathan Johns?
Jaw. Like the jawline could cut your hand.
So I don't have a problem with Williamson's home record. I have a problem with the fact that against all the best sides, he's really, really struggled. Right. Yeah. So he struggled in South Africa. He struggled against England. He struggled against Australia. He struggled against India. That's my issue with Kane Williamson. Mm-hmm. Again, we're nitpicking greatness. I actually don't think there's much between them. Spoiler alert, they're very close to each other in the book. But I just have Cook slightly ahead of it. I mean, look at what Cook did in 10-11 in Australia and what Cook did in India.
In India.
True.
Exactly.
We have never seen Williamson do those things.
Yeah.
Cook just put a whole series on lockdown. Right. In a way that I think you have to respect that. And that's the thing with Cook. When he got going, it was just like, that was it for the series, right? You're just like, we might as well just attack the other end.
Yeah.
But I think Kane is a bit unlucky here because New Zealand don't play as many tests, right? Like in a series, they don't play That is the only thing.
No, I agree. He's injured really so often, even when they do.
He is quite injured quite frequently. But then again, I feel like this always comes up with Kane Williamson, that sure, he might not have those stellar numbers versus the best teams, but then again, he's played less. So with the whole Joe Root comparison, I feel like Estelle always loves to bring this one up. Anyway, he's gone now. Kane's out.
So
Cook's in.
The next one is Graham Pollock versus Matthew Hayden.
Okay. All right. I hear you.
You can actually see me and Cheyenne trying to remember which one is higher in the book here.
I've made my choice.
Just give me 1 second.
Well, it is a redundant. Whatever you're writing is redundant, Jared. Because
The
decision has been
made.
And it's unanimous. Matty Hayden is through, and Graham Pollock is out.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're next to each other in the book, in the list.
Oh, really?
So, I think they're right next to each other in a similar pattern. I think you can make... Wait, let me just have a look. If I got the tiers here?
Heavy hitting and the new ball.
The problem with Pollock is he just didn't play enough test cricket, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I think Pollock might have been a more talented player if we go by what people have seen him play, what they say. I think he might be the better, more talented batter, but I think the better career has to be Hayden, and simply because he played that much more. And then he also had, like, he was a quick scoring batter, right? So,
yeah. And that series in India, which really elevates Hayden's numbers, right? But then again, it is that series in India. You can't just not look at it.
No, and also strike rate, right? Exactly. Like, you know, he's that's one thing with Pollock. I think Pollock probably batted a little bit slower. I think they're actually very similar kinds of players, even if they, big left-handers who hit the ball, you know, very hard. So I think they were quite similar.
I actually don't think Hayden's strike rate is as impressive as I thought it was. It's like 60, right? Even in ODI cricket, he's just slightly above par. Or par. Like,
yeah, but 60 in the early 2000s.
No, that's... So I'm not saying it's not good. I just don't think it's... How do I put it? Transformative. In a way, like...
No, but so I would put Hayden on a similar level to someone like KP or Greenwich. I don't think they always put the foot down. But the thing with Hayden is when he put the foot down, like... It changed the game. So I think, you know, there are who would you put up there? Like Quinton de Kock type players, right? Who are always, you know, Gilchrist type players who are always having a high strike rate. And then you've got the other players like McCullum and Hayden and those sorts of guys who, when they wanted to put the foot down, which is a different kind of player.
There was one test match in either it was Colombo or Sharjah, I can't remember. Australia were playing Pakistan and Hayden outscored Pakistan.
Pakistan, yeah. In two innings.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Like two innings combined for Pakistan. They made like 59 and 53 in that match.
Yes. Less like runs than Matty Hayden in one innings. Yeah. Anyway.
So the
How are we still on the first round?
Yeah, this is the last battle I was just about to say. So Chanderpaul versus Kallis.
Wow. So he has Shiv versus Kallis and Pop is through.
Tell you what, Michael Clark has his own podcast. Can I just say, if we end up getting slagged off of Michael Clark's podcast because of all your slander, I will find it very funny.
I voted for Clark.
Finally, the first round is done.
Yeah. Anyway, people, audio listeners wouldn't know, we voted unanimously for Kallis and Shiv is out.
Kallis goes through.
And unfortunate for Shiv too, I feel like it's just a really tough draw.
Yeah. So I think I love Shiv.
One thing I found interesting with Shiv is that someone was saying, Brian Lara got to play with Shiv Narayan Chandrapal, whereas, Sachin had no help in the 90s. If you go back and have a look, Shiv didn't actually average all that much when he batted with Lara. Yep. They had two of the greatest batters in the history of the game. But unfortunately, by the time Shiv worked out how to bat in Test cricket, Lara had retired. So they never overlapped with their greatness. It's really fascinating. But end of career Shiv. I don't know if I will ever see a player less likely to be dismissed if he doesn't want to be dismissed than Shiv Narayan Chandrapal by the end of his career. He was just like, even if I edge it, it would dribble along the ground off his bat. It wouldn't go anywhere. He's just remarkable at not wanting to get out.
And it's so insane how someone with that batting stance is undoubtedly amongst the greatest 50 batters in Test cricket of all time. And I think that's just remarkable.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
All right, so the first battle of the second round. Virat Kohli versus Neil Harvey.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. Things have just
now we're getting fun.
Spicy. I don't know what the right answer is. I've just written something down. Okay. Yeah. So we're all on the same page. Virat is through unanimously, and that's it for Neil Harvey.
Yeah. So we love Neil Harvey in the book, and Abhishek, who did research, he was the one who kept fighting for Neil Harvey not to be in the book. Sorry, Abhishek, for throwing you under the bus. He's got some holes in his record, Neil Harvey, but he starts off in Test cricket about as great as anyone has ever started off in their career. And he was a left-hander who was brewing against off-spin. Exactly. So I think those things really, I think, spoke to us quite a bit.
Fair enough. Absolutely. Well, he had a good run making it to the next round. A lot of people didn't make it to the next round. Neil Harvey did. So he shouldn't be complaining. At least shouldn't be moaning right now.
Yeah. He would definitely still be complaining, by the way, just so we're all aware. He'd be complaining about this entire thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, Victor Virat Trumpo is through to the quarterfinals now.
He is, yeah. Victor Trumpo versus Sunil Gavaskar.
Oh, so you're just doing contrasting styles of play now. Is that what we're doing?
Basically the same player.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really have to write this down, but Sunny G is the unanimous pick. Yep. Trumpo goes and, a quarterfinal clash of Virat Kohli versus Sunil Gavaskar is coming up, guys. Mm-hmm. Just a heads up.
Oh, that's an issue, man.
Yeah.
Look, I love Trumpo and I have no problem saying he might have been the best wet wicket player of all time and one of the best attacking players of all time. Sunil Gavaskar is just on a completely different level.
One of the best players of spin of all time, right? Again.
Yep.
Yeah. And no one says that ever.
Someone who's averaged 50 plus as opener, which is a very rare feat. So, Sunny G is the easy pick over here.
Runs. Yeah, yes. First to 10,000.
True.
We'll talk about all this when we kick him out later.
Yeah. All right. So, Garfield Sobers versus Ricky Ponting.
Ooh, okay, that's a nice one.
This is a really nice one. I don't even know what the right answer is over here, honestly.
I think unlike our ODI or IPL one, this whole video is a bloodbath after a certain point.
It's going to get very, very bloody. But I think my answer is wrong, but I've gone punter. Yeah. Both Jared and Cheyenne have gone Sobers. So that's it for punter. Is it the peak thing, guys?
What, with Sobers? Or with punter?
Yeah, I mean with punter.
Yeah, I think outside of his peak, he was an okay player when he was young, and he was a below average player when he was old, even though his average holds up. It's only because he was playing in a great batting era. Sobers just had more weapons and had more power. I think was just Sobers, I think, averages more than Punter anyway. Right.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Despite, I think Punter's great.
I think there are fewer flaws in Sobers' record than Punter.
No, but then Jared. Yeah. Didn't Sobers bat lower down the order, whereas Punter is number three?
But he was also bowling.
But he also had a bowling workload, right? That's the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how
he bowled more than Jimmy Anderson.
True.
I actually think, and I think the numbers bear this out, if Sobers had batted three or four, he would have averaged even more.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think if he wasn't bowling, he'd be a much better batter.
Yeah.
Well, I knew I was going to be wrong over here anyway when I wrote down.
I'm a huge fan of Ponting.
Yeah.
But if Ponting's main skill is his peak, and Sobers also have one of the greatest peaks of all time.
True. Okay, so that's it for Ricky Ponting, and Garfield Sobers is through to the quarters.
All right, Don Bradman versus Jeff Boycott.
Do you know why this is great? Because if Boycott went out against anyone who wasn't Bradman, he would have complained. He now can't complain.
And I mean, time for us to boycott Jeff, I suppose, because the Don has gone through unanimous pick once again. And
as I said before, he's underestimated Boycott. He was actually a fantastic player, but because of everything else to do with his personality, he doesn't get remembered that way. But
would
he really was a fantastic
player. Who's
better,
Boycott or Gavaskar?
Boycott. Gavaskar.
Sunny G has to be better than Boycott, I feel.
Yeah.
I think both of them are underrated, actually. Quite a bit. But Gavaskar.
Both of them put a really high price on their wicket.
I don't think Gavaskar's underrated. I think his parts of his game are more overrated and underrated than his
Probably also. But I think once you become the old guy who says lots of things on TV, you get known for like Richie Beno, he's a great cricketer. No one really talks that much about Richie Beno the cricketer though anymore, right? Like you become something else. And I think that's just a very common thing of these kinds of players.
Michael Holding, throwing Dino, right? Dean Jones. A lot of those guys.
Bill Laurie, I think.
Yeah, Bill Laurie. People completely. And then people started making fun of Bill Laurie's record. And I was like, guys, if you looked at Bill Laurie's record, did Bill Laurie not make your list? Who have you? God, you missed out on some good batters. Anyway, sorry, Varun.
Steve Smith versus Mahela.
Okay. I mean, I think Mahela did well to make it to this round, but probably, it's unanimous smudger. SPD. Jared's also written down SPD this time. I should have gone that direction as well. Yeah. But anyway, it was always going to be tough work to come against up against Smith.
I was surprised that Mahela's record against spin wasn't more fantastic than it was. Mm-hmm. I really was. But he still is one of the greatest players against spin of all time. Maybe in my head, he was. I think I had him even higher. Like, I might have had him in the top two or three of all time. And writing this book, I might have put him a little bit lower. But what a player. And it's funny. Kumar talked about him having a technical flaw. So it's interesting that you can have a player so still and correct and everything and still had, I think it was a problem with his back lift. So I just, you know, Mahela was one of my favorite cricketers to watch of all time.
Yeah.
No, I think I'll flip this question a bit. Who would you guys rather watch? Because that's interesting, I think.
I would rather watch Mahela. 100%. It's not even.
But I like watching Smith as well, so I'm a bit confused, honestly. Like, I really just like that.
I've watched a lot of Mahela, though. Like he was an attractive bat.
I think he probably had more aesthetic shots.
I like Smith's weirdness.
Same. Yeah.
Damn.
Like, when he's just flailing his bat around like a bird, I think it's just one of my favorite things to watch.
Smith, like, watching Smith is an experience, man. So.
Yeah.
No, don't disagree.
I think Smith's twin edge Bastinsons are, like, one of the my favorite knocks I've watched.
This is like when you meet someone and they're like, my favorite beer is an IPA. This is what I'm kind of experiencing right now.
I don't know what IPA is.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think you picked the right crowd with Varun and Cheyenne to explain that
Fair
one.
Enough. Yeah.
Like, I hate beer, but I'm just selling my body. But yeah. All right.
Okay, so, next round.
Oh, Clive Lloyd versus whatever. Ken Barrington.
See, now, these guys have done all this research and they know what the answer is to this one. Whereas I'm just left.
I think that's what this is a great final. Jared knows everything. Shia knows a lot. You know nothing. So
I know some things.
No, nothing. Okay? You know nothing.
I'm Jon Snow now. Okay, yeah, so I have the wrong answer again because these guys have gone Ken Barrington. I've gone Clive Lloyd. And Supercat has been eliminated.
I love Clive Lloyd, and I think I'm higher on Clive Lloyd than most people with their batting. And I think I'm lower on Ken Barrington than a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think there's no comparison between the two of them. Ken Barrington's record is incredible. And Clive Lloyd was definitely a great player, but he wasn't on the Ken Barrington level.
Lloyd also batted mostly at five, didn't he?
Yeah, a little bit
definitely
further
definitely more cool, though. I feel like Clive Lloyd wins on the coolness factor with those glasses and everything.
I also think there's an element of Clive Lloyd at his best of that domination, again, of, you know, hitting the ball so hard, whereas with Ken Barrington, he was making runs, but he maybe wasn't making you know, terrified. Whereas I do think Clive Lloyd, because of the power, as we said before, the 3-pound-4 bat or whatever it was, you know, and just the size of him. Right? Yeah, Ken Barrington is a much more normal batter.
Yeah, unrelated, but I think he's very underrated in ODI cricket.
Lloyd?
Yeah. And also,
he
probably doesn't play at his peak either, right?
Yeah,
that definitely wouldn't have been his peak, right? But he's a 2-time World Cup winning captain. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so Javed Miatad versus WG Grace.
Wow.
Ooh, I like that one.
You know what? I don't even care about the right answer for this one because I know what Jared's writing down. I'm going to lose this, but just for the love of Javed, I will write his name.
Cheyenne
has broken the internet. Wow. So just for our audio listeners.
I don't think just those casual fans know WG Grace, to be completely honest.
True. But, like, you know, I knew Jared was going to go WG Grace, and I was quite confident that having Cheyenne as his lead researcher for the book, Cheyenne would probably also go WG. This is why I wrote down Javed, and now in a weird turn of events, WG Grace has been eliminated.
Yeah.
I don't think they're that far from each other
in the book.
Exactly. So that's one thing, and we're probably disagreeing on this, me and Jared. But I really think, like, me and Dad also had that mad genius vibe about him. So, and he just played longer, man. Like, he played 120 tests. He averaged more than 50. Yeah. I think at some point, that longevity also has to count for something. Like, he played more test cricket. I know WG Grace, different era and everything, but I think my personal bias would be towards Javed Miatad, for sure.
Interesting thing about Javed also is that he never averaged below 50 in his entire test.
Exactly,
like, not for a single game.
And he started really young. Did he start as a teenager?
Yes, 16, or 17, 18, I believe. Something like that.
So, WG Grace, I think Abhishek Mukherjee... He was just like, you could almost slot him anywhere on this list. And he was like, you could have him at number one or number two, right? But because it was test batting, I think it was harder to make that case. Mm. We had his range between 8 and 37, right? have to go on personal preference. What I would say about WG Grace was test cricket starts in the 1880s, really, when he starts playing it. He's a full-time, he's a doctor at that stage. He's got a doctor's practice. So he's not playing as much cricket as he was beforehand. And he still clocks cricket and he averages more than everyone else. And he was in his 30s by that stage. He then goes on to be probably top six batters in the world in his 40s. And he retires when he's almost 50.
Yeah.
If he had played between the age of 20 and 32 in Test cricket, I honestly think he would have averaged like 55 in Test cricket and everyone else would average 25. So that's a Bradman-like level period, but he did. True. But unfortunately for him, there was no Test cricket. So he doesn't get that boom. And that's why it's a little bit tougher to work out where he goes. He also doesn't play that many Test matches in the end because he doesn't always make himself available because he didn't really think of it as the ultimate.
I would say it's also a good matchup because Grace never liked being out. And there's a saying, right? Like, Miada's never LBW in Pakistan.
Yep.
Yeah, well, Miada and Grace were both evil, right?
They're both super geniuses.
They're super villains,
villains. just like, you know, genius level nutbags, right? Like, just doing silly things all the time. No, it's a very good bracket.
And I think they both would like that about themselves as well. That's what makes it great.
All right, so Yunus Khan versus Steve Waugh.
Ooh.
Okay. I think we're going to have another split over here. That's my guess. But here we go. 3-2-1. Oh no, it's unanimous. Steve Waugh is out. Yunus Khan is through. Bye-bye, Tugger.
Look, I grew up in his era and I was a big fan of Steve Waugh and I watched him make incredible hundreds with the tail and all these sorts of things. I think you do have to factor in the not outs with Steve Waugh.
Yeah.
And he was playing four not outs. And also the fact that when the Australian team needed him to bat higher, he didn't want to bat higher. He was like, I'm batting here. That's different than Sobers, who the team's like, it actually makes more sense for you to bat down the order because of everything else.
Right.
Chandrapal and Steve Waugh, there are certain times in their careers, they just had to bat higher in the order to make the batting order work. And they didn't. They either tried it and didn't like it, or they just didn't want to do it. How do you compare that with the other guys who had to take on the new ball a lot more because they didn't have that option? Right. Yeah. And I still think Yunus has a fair case against Steve Waugh, even without those facts. But I certainly think you have to do that. It's, you know, batting at number five in Test match cricket is a dream if you can do it for your entire career.
Yeah, I don't mind the not-outs thing. For me, it's more the positions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Same. Like, I can still be okay with the not-outs because obviously you're so good with the tail.
If you're getting you say that, if you're getting a single off the first ball of an over every time you're facing with a tail ender, letting them face five balls of Alan Donald or Curtly Ambrose, like, you can understand why his teammates were like, shouldn't you be facing at least three or four balls here at times? Now, he didn't always do it, right? And I think sometimes it's a little bit unfairly put to him. Also, he was so desperate to end up with a test average of 50, right? Like, for him, it was such a defining thing that it kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say it taints it because, you know, I don't want to say it's stat padding, but there's something about, it was funny, when I talked to Mark Waugh about him, he said, oh, you know, we just played to win. And I was like, but he didn't just play to win, your brother, did he? Like, he actually did play saying he wanted to average 50, which is different than playing to win. Like, that is different. That's a different motivation.
Opposite, right? It's like, I only need to score 100 for it to win. I don't need a 200.
I've made 100 off. Right? And I don't want to have a go at Steve Waugh for that because also the skill and ability that he had to do that. But I think even everything regarded, I still would put Yunus Khan ahead of him.
Plus, think about this. Yunus batted a lot at number three as well, you know. Pakistan would always lose their openers early. So, the batting.
I think Shane Warne's up there smiling at this.
Yeah,
I think Michael Clarke and Steve Waugh entered the crease with a score of 120, right? Like, that's the median score that they entered on. There's a lot of players in the history of the game that would bite your arm off to come in with 120 runs on the board, right? Like, so.
Anyway.
All right, that's so settled. The next one is Jack Hobbs versus Greg Chappell.
Okay.
This one is for, 2000s Indian fans.
Okay. Oh.
Hobbs goes through.
Yeah, Hobbs
Greg Chappell averages 40 in every country he plays in, right?
Yeah. Didn't play much in Asia, did he? Which is not his fault, but he didn't play in Asia. He was
not just the 2000 Indians fans, the Saurav Ganguly Ultras.
Basically. All of Kolkata. Look, I think Chappell was an absolute great, but he's not as well tested as other players from his era. And he actually is missing test runs because of World Series cricket as well. But if you go back and watch him, he is a combination of technical brilliance and also elegance. Like it's a combination of everything. He was a really tall player as well. And in a period where there weren't that many tall batters, just a fantastic player. There's no doubt about that. But Jack Hobbs is Jack Hobbs.
Yeah. Up against Jack Hobbs.
So it's Alan Border versus Len Hutton.
Oh, this is tough. For me, it is at least. I know you guys know the right answer. okay. Just going with the vibes at this point, I suppose.
It's always
that.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but oh, thank God, I've gone for the right vibes. Len Hutton is the unanimous pick, which means that is it for Border.
Mm-hmm.
Border, a great player. As we said before, averages 50 away from home and at home. Got hit in the head a lot. Played the West Indies at their best. Really was a warrior. Len Hutton's just better. As a cricket journalist, I would travel up to 200 days a year. And I loved every part of it, except for one. This little evil pin here, because I needed this to change my SIM card. And when you travel in cricket, you're quite often going from country to country. Don't get me started on how much this would annoy me in the West Indies, but even going from New Zealand to Australia, this pin was the worst. Well, with the Sally eSIM, they sort all of that out for you. They have an eSIM app that you install once, it's cheap, and it works in more than 160 countries around the world. No more turning up at an airport and lining up for a local SIM, trying to give over your passport and your details, and you just want to get in a taxi and go where you're going. No, Sally make it so much easier. You just download the app before you travel and you decide what kind of plan you actually need. Oh, and if you do that with our code, GOODAREAS, all one word, you get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go right now and download the Sally app and use the code GOODAREAS, all one word, at checkout and travel like a pro with Sally.
All right, Michael Clarke versus George Headley.
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
Good run for Clarkey, this.
Yeah.
I'm not even waiting for the 3-2-1. I think we all
this
know
this one's
that.
For Estelle.
All right.
Michael Clarke has been eliminated unanimously. Headley is through. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, even in the previous round, I remember someone really good went out. Yeah, Sehwag, right? Was it?
Yeah, Sehwag went out. Dravid went out.
Yeah, no, but versus
KP
Headley,
went out.
Who was it?
KP.
Oh, KP. KP was the one, right? So, I mean, I'd take KP over Clark.
Yep.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So it's VVS Lakshman versus Viv Richards.
Oh, the
there's
battle
a lot of
V's. There are four V's. Four V's in six characters.
Yeah.
All right.
Viv goes through.
Again, unanimous.
Good run for
Viv
VVS. Good run for VVS.
He did well to get to the second round there. Even Clark.
Full name once again, Varun. There we go.
I almost put him in the top 50 just for the couple of innings.
Yeah.
But his overall records are actually quite... his overall record's not very good, especially on the different metrics that we looked at.
And
but,
he batted
geez,
at 5, right? Like with with Rahul Dravid, Sachin Tendulkar, Sehwag.
True.
These guys
his numbers at 5 are quite shit. I think it's 6 where it's quite great.
6 actually where he does better,
yeah.
But he's also batted at 3 at times and those sorts of things.
He is probably a number 3 or 4 in almost any other team. Barring Australia.
If I recall correctly, I have even seen Lakshman open the innings.
Early
in
his
career. He might have been.
I think he was a number 4. I think he would have been a world-class number 4. Unfortunately, they had two other number 4s in that side.
True. Anyway, he's gone now.
All right. So Sachin versus Kumar.
Beat Viv.
Ooh.
See, this... I know like there is only one right answer, but I really wish Estelle was here, you know? I really wish Cheyenne was Estelle.
I really wish that you would go with the player that you fanboy over just so that you're going to be abused online.
Nah, I have to go with the right answer over here.
All right, Sachin.
Because I know Sachin is the bigger
for Kumar
player
Sangakkara.
Look, Sangha, again, amazing player. Probably Sri Lanka's best batter ever. But Sachin's played 200 test matches.
Probably he is Sri Lanka's best batter ever.
No, who says probably?
That's
who is the probably in this? He's very unlucky. I think he's got a very good case of being a top 10 batter of all time. I don't think we quite made it for him. But I think he's got a very good case of being a top 10 batter of all time, Kumar Sangakkara, and he's just gone up against someone that's
age
better
that fine
here, right?
Sangha.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ryan, I mean, just remember to put the name in front of your face because that's the bit that will be on the video.
Anyway, Sun goes out. Sachin obviously had to go through. Does this mean that Sachin is up against Viv in the next round?
No, don't talk. Don't throw it forward. We'll get there when we get there.
Brian Lara versus Joe Root.
Okay. Damn. I, again, do not know where to go with this one.
I don't even think, other than young English fans, I can't imagine anyone who's picking in England would pick Root over Lara because he just destroyed England so much. I think even the kids who didn't even watch cricket in the 90s and 2000s, right? Even they are like, yeah, but it's in my DNA that, to be smashed by Brian Lara.
Yeah, I've noticed that the English rate the West Indies players higher because they were destroyed by them for like across two, three generations.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I feel like most people would have gone with Lara over here. All three of us have. Root is out. So Brian Charles Lara.
Joe Root.
The first man in the history of the game to register a score of 400.
I think Joe Root moved about five positions while making this book. He just kept making runs. And... Yeah. By the end of his career, I wonder how high he can get.
Yeah.
Right, whether he can just keep moving. Because it's if he keeps playing at the level that he had been playing at, it's remarkable.
Yeah. We've done a bunch of footmarks on Joe Root and where he might end up. You guys should definitely go take a look at those.
Okay. All right, so AB de Villiers versus Alistair Cook.
Okay, two modern day greats. Only one right answer though. No. Yeah, well, we'll wait for Cheyenne.
Our Abraham Benjamin de Villiers goes through.
I don't think it was that straightforward, though.
Like, I mean, look.
I was a bit conflicted.
Playing the way AB played and averaging 50 and also playing his home cricket in South Africa and then being versatile.
And wicket keeping late.
And wicket keeping as well.
The argument doesn't make it for an opener in England, does it?
That also is fair.
Exactly. Yeah. See, that's the only thing that Cook was an opener in England. De Villiers batted at 5 behind Graham Smith and Amla, right?
I think both of them also have the same, like you could say, negative drawback is they retire very young.
Correct.
Yeah.
They don't go on to play. They don't play in the pace playing pandemic.
Exactly. Both of them conveniently just retire when it starts.
Conveniently. I love the idea that they got together and went, should we retire now? Because I think cricket's about to get a lot harder.
I think AB probably got hit in that South Africa in this series.
I feel for AB, for the longest time, he was focusing on that elusive trophy. And then one random day, he was like, it doesn't define me. And he was like, okay, I'm done. I think that's what happened to him. Whereas with Cook, there's a lot of pressure.
They're very close to each other in the book. Yeah. They're very close to each other on the list as well, I should say.
I don't know why he retired, but after
still don't think he should have. He would have easily been like South Africa's best batter for the next 3-4 years.
But he was the best IPL batter for like 3-4 seasons after that, wasn't he?
Alistair Cook scores a ton in his final test match versus India, I believe.
Correct.
But before that final test match, everyone was literally wanting him to be axed. That's what I remember. So you could
To be fair, I think that was also a time where England thought they actually had any openers.
That's also true.
Yeah. They had like a whole good run after that where they were hoping someone could average 30.
Anyway, chef's gone, AB's through. And how many final more battles in this round?
The final one, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
So Matthew Hayden versus Jack Cadis. Different playing styles, completely.
Yes, but then...
Similar body styles.
Yeah. Very similar body styles. I would be surprised if Cheyenne has something different over here. Nope. It's 3 votes for Cadis. Haydos is eliminated.
Both of them have opened in the IPL. That's the common thing about them.
Yeah,
I mean, Cadis had to come into the side.
Yeah, had to come into the side as a young player. Played all the way through. Hayden got dropped and could go off and work on his game and come back when he was
and
in.
Not to forget the fast bowling workload Cadis has.
That's also true. The bigger difference is that Hayden could change a game way quicker than Cadis could, right? And there was a lot more fear factor in Hayden than there was in Cadis. But in every other way, it's Cadis.
I think Cadis is even the most underrated batter and the most overrated bowler of all time.
Well, I don't think he's a very rated bowler. But I think as far as test match batting is concerned, what is he averaging? Like 55?
Yeah, 55, 56.
Second most centuries, right?
That's insane, right? I mean, he also scored a ton in his last test match. I think that was also versus India.
From what I recall.
Great things by India, though. Play your last test versus India always.
Anyway. Okay, right, so is it round of 16 now or quarterfinals?
This is the... I don't actually know.
How many players are
quarterfinals. Sorry, round of 16.
Also, this is the round of 16. Damn, this is going to be one long podcast.
2 hours through this.
Yeah.
You guys love talking about the odds test batters, man. What do I say?
Anyway, let's kick off the round of 16 now.
Virat Kohli versus Sunil Gavaskar.
Oh, it is basically golden oldie versus modern day great. And I have gone for golden oldie. All of us. Virat Kohli has been unanimously eliminated and Sunny G is through.
I think there was a period of time where if Kohli had just gone on to continue to age not in a peak way, but in a normal great player way, he would have got close to Sunny. But I don't think he's even got close.
I think we talked about this.
Yeah, he had, now he's not close.
Easier home conditions or easier away conditions. He probably is closer.
Yep.
And sure, the home tracks at home during Kohli's, you know, latter half of his career may have done him a bit dirty. But then again, Sunil Gavaskar remained good till the very end. Even in his last series versus Pakistan,
he was like his last innings. Phenomenal innings, right?
There's a story. You guys can verify it. I'm not sure if it's true or not because it's been told to me by someone. But Imran kind of convinced Sunil Gavaskar to play in that test series.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Sunny does mention it. So I believe that like Sunny wanted to retire. So Imran was like, okay, we're coming to India. You can't retire before we play you. Sunny's like, okay, if you guys are going to come, I will happily play more longer. Sunny does play longer.
The only difference over here is what Imran probably said is you have to be there when we beat you because that's what Imran was. You're right.
Yeah. I also like the idea of the
first test series in India without you.
Yeah.
The whole series, Sunil Gavaskar just walking around saying to everyone, I'm 48 hours away from retirement. Like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Garfield Sobers versus John Bradman.
Oh,
who was that?
Sobers versus Bradman. Sobers
Bradman.
Yeah.
Oh.
Damn.
If this was the greatest cricketer of all time, then
yeah,
it could be
actually,
a bit fun.
Very, very valid point.
That is
Don is the unanimous pick as we thought he would be. Sobers unlucky. Just, anyone who goes up against Don Bradman.
Let's be fair here.
It is, you know, I mean, with Sobers going out this early, it does actually tell you, though, that like, oh, you're doing a list of the greatest 50 batters of all time. I wonder who number one is. Like, it is.
Yeah, well. Anyway.
All right, Steve Smith versus Ken Barrington.
If Ken Barrington goes through over here, I will flip a switch, honestly, because I haven't voted for him in a single round, and these guys have been so big on him, and I've gone for Smudger over here. Okay, thank God.
Right.
SPD it is. Steve Smith is the unanimous pick. And finally, Ken Barrington's road comes to an end.
Ken Barrington played 82 test matches. He's 6,800 runs, an average of 58.
That is insane.
Right? First class cricket, he averages 46.
Damn.
You go back through and you have a look at it, and we really did delve through this a lot. He made some runs against some fairly ordinary attacks at some times. There weren't as many great attacks when he was playing.
What's his era?
He basically plays from, what's his first year? 1955 through to 1968.
So mainly Australia and some of West Indies.
But even Australia doesn't always have a great attack at that time. And me and Cheyenne went through it. It really doesn't hold up as much as it should. And the fact that when he went back to England, he didn't dominate, right, in first-class cricket, when a lot of the other county players who didn't make as many test runs as him did, just makes me pause a little bit more with Barrington, whereas I think a lot of people have him automatic top five, top 10. We didn't quite have him there. But if you just look at his test record, he averages 69 in Australia, 50 in England, 96 in India, 73 in New Zealand, 76 in Pakistan, 101 in South Africa, and 101 in the West Indies. 44 in the West Indies. Sorry. I hate to nip. That's what I was saying before with the nitpicking of greatness. And I know that Gideon Haig is a huge fan of Ken Barrington, and there's a bunch of stuff named after him at the Oval and everything else. But I think old cricket heads will be maybe a little bit more upset. But he's not a very well-remembered player. Like, there aren't many people in his corner, whereas Hutton and Sutcliffe and Hobbs, they all have a lot more people in their corner.
You know, the only thing I knew about Ken Barrington was his name. I knew he existed. That was pretty much it.
Yep.
Yeah, same. I barely knew anything about him.
He was a great player. But if you look at the list of the bowlers he went up against the most in Test cricket, right? So he went up against Sobers in 17 matches. Sobers is a very good fifth bowler and occasionally a fourth bowler. McKenzie, probably not in Australia's best 15 bowlers of all time. Lance Gibbs, a very good off spinner, but again, he's not Murali or Ashwin or even Bishan Bedi on talent. So you go through, and outside of Davison and Peter Pollock and Wes Hall, he doesn't play as many of the great players, and he doesn't go up against a lot of great attacks. You compare that to Smith, who's had this fantastically weird career, obviously. Yeah. I don't think there's a lot between them. And with Barrington, I think you make a case he should be way higher than he is, and we've probably gone on the lower end in our book.
Fair. Also, it was always going to be tough work coming up against Smudger. But anyway, that's settled. Let's move on.
If you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months, plus gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a blocker protects the stumps with Nord VPN today.
Miadad versus Yunus.
Oh, I don't even know what the right answer is over here. You've got, you know what? I've made up my mind now, and I'll explain myself later. And let's see what these guys have.
Jesus.
Might be a split. This might be a split, honestly.
Oh.
Oh, it is a split. So Jared and I have gone Javed Miadad, and Cheyenne has gone Yunus Khan. Look, so Yunus Khan has more runs.
Something fun?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to hear something fun? I just looked up the list. And I have Yunus ahead of me and Dad in the book.
Wow. That's
but
insane.
They are next to each other. Yes. And I reckon I switched them two over a bunch of times. I think if you ask me next week, I might pick Yunus. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't know which one of them was better. And like, maybe one day we just have to do that, Sean. We just have to do the greatest battle in Pakistan history and just take those two as deep as we can.
I've gone Miadad over Yunus for a bunch of reasons over here. Of course, there's the 50 average thing that had never dropped below 50 for Miadad. And he would have ended up with an even better average had he not played on too long. But then if you look at the eras, I feel like Yunus Khan's era was a bit more batting friendly, whereas Miadad played tougher bowlers in a tougher period. Mm-hmm. So that's why I went Miadad.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think it was just really close.
Yep. Also... Yeah. Both of them play, one of them didn't get to play at home as much. And Pakistan wickets are pretty handy.
True.
Right? Like, that's also Yunus batted brilliantly in UAE, so maybe it doesn't matter. Yeah. But you do know what I mean. Like, if you're an Australian cricketer and you didn't play at home a lot, you would expect your average to come down quite a bit.
Fair. But yeah, it's a tough one.
Hobbs
anyway.
V. Hutton.
Hobbs v. Hutton. My.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I don't even know what Jared's going to write over here.
No, they're slightly different eras. So Hutton starts playing in around 36, 37, and Hobbs was probably finished by 1930. So they miss each other. Hutton actually opens with Sutcliffe, who was Hobbs's opener.
That's
so in some ways, they're like, they share a lover, but they never actually batted together.
I see, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Hobbs everyone's gone for Jack Hobbs. Len Hutton, unfortunately, has to be eliminated.
We're saying that Hutton and Hobbs are very close to each other in the book. That's a very harsh bracket for Hutton to go up against. I'm much higher on Hutton than I think most people are. His record is almost impeccable. Of all the records you looked at, Sean, did we ever look at another one where we're just like, this just looks perfect?
Exactly, yeah.
And the fact that he lost an inch off his elbow or whatever, like there's that as well.
Well, he breaks the world record before World War II.
Misses
all of his 20s basically when he's already broken a world record, loses an inch off his elbow because he's broken his arm, and then comes back and just dominates again like nothing ever happened. And him and Barrington were very similar. When I talked to the players who played with and against them and watched them, they were just like, you just have to understand that these guys did not make mistakes. Every single ball, Len Hutton did exactly what he was supposed to do to that ball over and over and over again. There, you know, he just played the right shot every single time.
How long does Hutton play? Like, Hobbs plays for like 20 something years, right?
Hutton's actual career is very long, but he doesn't play as many test matches because of the war, right? But it's an 18-year career. Like it's a ridiculously long career. I so in where are we here? He averages 56 in test cricket, 55 in first class cricket, about 150 first class hundreds. Right? Like, I mean, oh my God.
Also, how many test matches? Because obviously, like, the war must have.
Around 70 something.
Still 70 something.
79.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. So he's still played more test matches than Don Bradman. And he's another player whose career was impacted by the war.
Exactly. There was a lot more test matches played after the war than there was before. Mm. And also, England played more test matches because Australia wouldn't play New Zealand, right?
Right.
So there were actually more test matches to play for England than everywhere else. Just on Hutton, he averaged 50 in Australia, 57 in England, 56 in the West Indies, 56 in South Africa, and 77 in the West Indies. And hilariously, the only bad team he played against was New Zealand, and he only averaged 30 against New Zealand when he went over there. Wow. So it's a ridiculous record for an opening batter to average as much as he did for such a long period over two different generations. They changed the laws while he was playing, and he broke his arm, and he was in the war, and it just, none of it mattered to Len Hutton because he was so focused on just the next ball.
Okay.
All right. George Headley versus Viv Richards.
Are you intentionally pinning players from the same country against each other? Because this is like the third matchup.
I didn't intentionally do anything. You guys chose. It's all your choices.
Yeah. That's also fair. Anyway.
Viv goes through. All right.
Viv is the unanimous pick. That's it for the Black Bradman. George Headley, though, again, unfortunately, probably didn't play as much as he should have. Yeah. And then if you look at his like first 19 test matches or something, we've done a footmarks on him. It's like insane stuff. Like the amount of runs he was scoring.
Higher batting average than Viv.
Hmm.
It would have been interesting for someone like CLR James. I don't know what he said about Viv, but I wonder who he thought was higher. If you'd seen, you know, if you'd seen Sobers, Viv and Headley, which direction, if you saw all three of them, which direction you would go.
Hmm.
I think that I Headley is very unlucky there. He's certainly one of the greatest players of all time, without any doubt.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't think you guys are ready for this one.
I am. I know what it is.
Okay. So Sachin, Ramesh Tendulkar versus Brian Charles Lara.
Okay.
No. The internet from 1995 is not ready for this.
Yeah. See, so, it's such a funny one.
For those who don't know,
I've seen so many people, Jared, who go Lara over Sachin.
Yeah, Bumble rates him more, right?
Yeah,
Bumble's one. There's quite a few people that do that. Look, ultimately, these things come down to what you rate higher, right? What matters more to you? One thing I would say is that CricInfo was largely built off two things. Indian Pakistani students in America moaning about each team and Sachin versus Lara fans. If you go back to the early things, it's just those things over and over and over again that just keep coming up. And you got to remember, like, there's like 300 cricket fans in the world online at this stage. And that's all it is. It's just flame wars about those two things. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, I
found this hard.
Have we made our picks?
All right.
Yeah. So it is unanimous for Sachin.
Yeah. I think you guys remember.
Go out.
I did that podcast, Warren, that you're talking about when me and Bumble had to pick between them. And I picked Sachin, right?
Mm.
And then had about 3 days of Twitter arguments about people because even though I picked Sachin, I didn't say Sachin was better than Lara in every single way.
Yeah. I think they were like, Lara's so talented. Why is his strike rate only 18 ODI cricket?
It's just like, what are we talking about here, guys? My God. Anyway, Lara's claim against himself is that probably in his peak, he was much more interested in sponsorships and nightlife and women. Like, and I think he's basically said that, but when he switched, when he realizes that his legacy is failing, he just goes back to being a great again overnight, right? Whereas Sachin was great every single day, and I think that's the big difference. And then you've got the longevity between the two of them as well.
Yeah. You can't surpass the longevity with Sachin. 200 test matches is insane.
Yeah, I think Lara is more capable of playing a great innings tomorrow, in a way that I don't think Sachin is. But I think you'd always take Sachin's career.
See, I don't think anyone will ever play 200 test matches again.
Yeah.
See, I remember this one thing that Brett Lee said on Lara and Sachin, right? He said that if you hold six balls to Sachin Tendulkar, he will hit you in the same direction every single ball of that over, right? Mm. But Lara could hit it in different directions. Like, and I think that's the coolest thing to sum it up. Sachin Tendulkar versus Brian Lara.
I think the thing is, Brian Lara could fail, right? It was very hard for Sachin to fail because everything was so right. And I think Jimmy Adams said, in the book, that Lara needed something to make him great. And then he found a level that was probably even above Sachin's, right? When he found that level. But Sachin didn't need anything to make him great. He was just great every day. Yeah. And so over the totality, the total nature of their career, and I would much rather watch Lara. And, you know, I might still select Lara in my side just because Lara can do things that Sachin can't do. But if I just need consistency,
yeah,
you've got it, the ability to be consistently great is not... We are nitpicking on all these players. You cannot nitpick on Sachin Tendulkar's consistency or his greatness.
Yeah.
He was consistently great. He might have been the greatest teenage player of all time. He's also one of the greatest players over the age of 35. And he's also one of the greatest players between the age of 20 and 35, right? Like, there's no gap.
Yeah, and plus, had he not played like 200 tests and ended up with like 175 test matches, I remember, the numbers would have been even better.
Yeah, right? He definitely played on too long. He dented his overall average.
Tough to go up against Sachin.
He still averaged above 40 everywhere, didn't he? Every single country.
Yeah, I think Sachin fans will slag Jared off for saying that he would rather have Lara in the team over Sachin.
Even though I picked Sachin again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Anyway. So the final battle of the round of 16, AB de Villiers versus Jack Kallis.
Okay. Again, it's the same thing has happened over here.
Yeah.
With the
I actually love the matchup in this round.
So everyone's gone for Kallis. I don't know why who's Jay Cheyenne has gone for Jack Hobbs.
I'm looking at that going, do I not know one of the nicknames of these players?
But yeah, I mean, JK. As good as AB was, Kallis is the best batter in Test cricket to come out of South Africa, I think.
Yeah. I think AB de Villiers could have been a better player than Kallis, but he wasn't.
Fair. Okay.
All right. Welcome to the quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals, yeah. Finally.
Yes.
2 hours and 11 minutes in. We are finally into the quarterfinals.
If someone is still watching this video, they must be a hardcore fan.
Yeah.
No, well, I think we're going to have to split this up into like three different episodes, aren't we? And run it over a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll leave that to
the production
team. I
was just going to say, right? Yeah. Like, we can note this.
Yeah.
All right, can't expect people to listen to a 3-hour show. Like, let's.
All right. So the first quarterfinal, Gavaskar versus Bradman. All right.
stupid matchup.
The thing is, though, that there's no good matchup for Bradman, is there? Like,
yeah.
All right.
And it's always
like you just good run for Gavaskar.
Yeah. More often than not, it's going to be unanimous as well. But really good run for Gavaskar, I think. Quarterfinalist.
Yeah, I think it's where me and Cheyenne have him.
Yeah, yeah. Huh? I think it's exactly fair. Him ending up in the top 8 is just about, ideas.
And then going out straight away in the top 8 as well. Like, I think that's almost perfect for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Might have beaten a few people in this quarterfinal round, but the Don, no chance.
All right. So Steve Smith versus Jawed Miandad.
Oh, that's easy too.
Great run for Miandad, actually, I think.
Miandad does not deserve to be in this semi-final.
I know he's losing, but I just went for him anyway.
Okay.
I know Smith is the right answer. There's got to be some evil
love
genius. Dad.
I think everyone knows how much I love Miandad, but he does not deserve to be in the... probably Yunus Khan didn't deserve to be in there. They just had a very good bracket to get them through to this area.
All right. Anyway. Hobbs versus Richards.
Okay. All right. I have no clue what the right answer is. I'm going to go on vibes. Oh, so both of them, Jared and Cheyenne, have gone to Jack Hobbs. I think Viv Richards, but Viv is gone.
Where you guys had him in the order, right?
Yep.
The top 8, but just at the edge of it.
Yeah. No, I think when we did the, Cheyenne might remember this as well. I think when we did the naked numbers, he wasn't that high, right? And we actually had to artificially put him up because we didn't have the strike rates for all the players.
Exactly.
But when we looked at his strike rate, we were like, I think he might have been in the
and
sort
he also
of like
on a little too long, didn't he?
Yeah, he did play on a little bit too long. I think on raw numbers, he was more like 18 or 20th. And we were just like, he's clearly not 18 or 20th. Like, you know, teams were absolutely terrified of this dude. Like, you know, his ability to change a game so violently was like nothing you'll ever see.
Yeah. Anyway. That's
again,
it for
like
Viv,
also like
Jack
again,
Hobbs
rare for an attacking batter to be great in England, right? For Viv.
Yeah, and he was almost better in England than he was everywhere else.
True.
He's really good in Australia as well, I think.
I can kind of see his greatness.
Yeah, that fits the brand as
and
well,
it's,
right?
That attacking Australia style of play. Yeah, it was probably quite similar to West Indies conditions, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and also probably the best player of all time of extreme pace. But there isn't actually that much extreme pace.
We said it was him, Ponting, and Virat, right?
I think those are the three that I would have. And on
is
AB.
Is that high versus high pace?
Good. Considering the fact that he barely
I think Virat's pretty high, yeah.
Even right now, like, his
he would be pretty high. I don't know if he stopped either, that's all.
No, I think even right now, like, his shit versus almost everything in Test cricket except for high pace.
I love 2 hours and 15 minutes in where it's like, we're just going to have a separate side chat here.
Yeah. And about four players who have all been eliminated.
Not even players who are coming up.
All right, so final, quarterfinal.
Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts, and articles on what is happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket 8 is your place for cricket intelligence.
Sachin Tendulkar versus Jack Callis.
Okay.
All right, that's a good one.
Again,
I'm trying to throw some fire into this and make it interesting. But I know that Sachin is the right answer. I just went with
Callis. You don't need more Indian haters. You have enough already.
I don't know why you would do this to yourself. I think Callis is probably lucky to make the quarterfinals here, but he's on the verge of quarterfinals, I think, is fair to say.
Yeah, no, I think quarterfinals is about right.
Like, and I think we've
probably just too much for him.
We've gotten to the right final four as well. You've got Don Bradman, Sachin Tendulkar. Who else do we have?
Smith and Hobbs.
Steve Smith.
Smith and Hobbs. Ooh, interesting.
All right, so I'll just
I don't think we've got exactly the right... I'll say this without telling anyone anymore because you can buy the book. But it's not exactly the top four we have in the book, but it's very close to the top four we have in the book.
The semifinals are... So, Sharon, for you, if you don't know, you write down both the answers for the semifinalists. No?
Yeah.
On the same thing. If you can, actually, before
so
you
you're going to have to do it smaller. Yeah. Than do...
But what's the matchup again?
So, Bradman versus Steve Smith and Jack Hobbs versus Sachin Tendulkar.
Okay.
There's about 75 best since Bradman's here, but yes.
Okay, I think we're all going to have the same answers over here. I have a feeling. But every time I've said that, sometimes it doesn't.
You've had a lot of feelings today.
Yeah. Nope. We do all have the same answers. It's a unanimous vote for Don Bradman and Sachin Tendulkar to go through, which means that's the end of the road for Steve Smith and Jack Hobbs.
All right.
So Jack Hobbs, just to explain how good Jack Hobbs was, other than the fact he made 197 or 199 first class hundreds, he has numbers that are quite similar to Bradman pre-World War One. He then has to go through World War One. And he comes back and then he dominates the next generation for about 5 years as well.
Yeah.
And then the last 5 years, that's when we see Bradman, Hammond, Headley and Sutcliffe all sort of coming into the scene. But he's still within touching distance of all those guys, despite the fact that he's about 40 and he's been playing for, what, 21 years, 22 years by this stage? Just remarkable. His first class record obviously more than holds up. Maybe the person who wanted to score runs more than anyone else in the history of the game, I think. You know, just absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And Smith, when we were writing the book, we wondered how high Smith could go.
Yeah.
Then he had his form dip. Then he did the whole opening thing.
Yeah.
He could still go higher in the next couple of years, I think. True. I don't think he could go much lower, though, in our list.
I mean, I don't think Smith will drop now.
Yeah.
At the point where this was recorded... Happening. In his last five test matches, he has 400s. And just when you thought that Steve Smith was done, he's back again.
He's found his hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Found his hands.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So the grand final. Who's the greatest batter of all time? Don Bradman or Sachin Tendulkar?
It is the right matchup. It is between those two. So that bit we've gotten right, I feel. And the answer for us is... Okay, so we've all gone for the Don. Tough luck for Sachin Tendulkar that Don Bradman exists, right? Like, how do you compete with an average of 99.97?
Again, a lot of people disagree with this.
99.94.
I should have known that.
Look, I think me and Sean kind of looked at this from the point of view is we think Jack Hobbs, Sachin Tendulkar, and Don Bradman all have a case for being number one, right?
Yeah.
The issue is Dom Bradman doesn't have a case of being number two.
Yeah. Right?
Whereas with Sachin, you can go, yeah, I could see how he might be able to be slipped down. And with Hobbs, you know, it's like, yeah, he can be slipped down even further than Sachin. There's no case that Bradman isn't the greatest test batter of all time. And if you look at things like, you know, people will, the old thing that people will say is, oh, but look, you know, went up against plumbers and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, yeah, so did everyone else. No one else averaged 40 more than the next greatest batter of their era.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm. That's the difference. It's the, no one did that. Bradman did something that Sachin, Grace, Hobbs never got to, which is that ability to average like almost double what other great players did in their era, but for his entire career.
I think it's fair to say that like it's harder to do that in the professional era than it is probably back then, but it's still really impressive.
Yeah. And he missed years of his being due to the board.
And this is not an entirely amateur era like WG Grace's, right? It's still professional-ish.
Yeah, but also, I think it's fair to say what you just said there, Varun. But if you go through the history of sport, there actually still aren't that many Bradmans.
Yeah, I agree.
So, professional sport doesn't really come about until what, the 70s and 80s, right? When we start to see it filter in everywhere. But if you go back and you look at the greatest outliers in any sport, like people compare Bradman to Wilt Chamberlain, right? Yeah. Mm. Wilt Chamberlain had like 1 or 2 years that were like Bradman's numbers. Bradman did it every single year. And then he goes into the army.
Wayne Gretzky is the other one.
I've got one. No, well, Gretzky was good, but there are other people.
Jahangir Khan?
Gretzky's record just got broken.
Jahangir Khan had 555 professional wins on the trot and squash.
On the trot. Correct.
And my dad will mention him every time, right? Like, and I think there's a snooker player who has a ridiculous record. There's also the tennis player Rod Laver, who I think wins the Grand Slam, goes professional for 10 years, comes back and wins the Grand Slam again. And so maybe he was of that level of what as well, right? But there aren't that many. It just doesn't happen if you go through sport, right? There really aren't, like, if you look at you know, those Jahangir Khan, Babe Ruth would be another one that would be up there, right? There just aren't that many people.
Is Muhammad Ali statistically
he's probably not on Bradman's level. Bit.
Like, doesn't Muhammad he get Ali banned and then got, comes back and still wins?
He got robbed of some prime time as far as his body was concerned.
I think Muhammad Ali's legacy is also bigger than just, like, what he did on the field, right?
It's more than sport.
That also plays a part in that.
And so you look at Bradman, he misses some of his peak years because of World War II. He comes back, and during the World War, and this story is, I wouldn't say it's disputed, but no one knows how factual it is. But there's no doubt that he does some sort of eye test in the army, and his eyes are not 20/20 vision. And he comes back, and I think he averaged more after the war. Whereas George Headley came back after the war and couldn't make a run, right? And these are comparable, you know, greats of their era. I just think he's on a level of which we'll never see again. And Sachin is so up there, but I just don't know how you compare it to the fact that there are still people that pick Lara over Sachin, right? There's no one who picks anyone over Bradman, right? Yeah. And not just in his era, but for the until Sachin. So you've got from 1877, right, all the way 1878, sorry, all the way through to 1877. Which I should know when the first test is. I've written about it 83 times, but all the way through till what, the year 2000. For 113 years, there isn't actually a comparable batter to him, right? Even Hobbs is not really that comparable to Bradman. And then Sachin comes along, and he's fighting with other players who are of a similar skill to him at the same time. Bradman never did that. It's just, it's so hard. And I understand he didn't play, he only played in England and Australia. Like, there are interesting things with that. The only great attack he played against outside of, was England. He still averaged in the mid-80s, high 80s against England. He averages more in England than he does in Australia. And when he played in Shield cricket, he did play some great teams, especially when he was playing against Victoria and New South Wales, some great bowling lineups. It didn't matter, guys. It just didn't matter, right? Yeah. Like,
to say, Jared, that what a waste of 2 hours and 23 minutes. When we knew that Don Bradman was the correct answer, we could have started with this and it would have been a 10-minute podcast.
You're wrong there, Bayram. It's actually a waste of about 2.5 years because the entire book, like, you sit down to write a book like this and you're like, oh, this is shit, right? But I think, you know, for me, I really wanted to show how many great batters there have been and how many different kinds of great batters that there has been in the history of cricket. And I think there are some players through this that we've given their due to. There are other players that are forgotten that we've shown a light on a little bit. You know, it's a fantastic, it was a fantastic thing to be a part of. And I know that, you know, Bayram, you obviously were there occasionally for me to chat to. Varun did some numbers, but me and Shyam, we were in the weeds for a lot. There was one stage, I'll be honest, guys, I didn't know if Shyam was ever going to come out. I think he was lost for a long period of time, in the whole thing.
It's so insane that even when you hired me in the early days, this was a topic of conversation. Like, we've always been talking about this book since like the dawn of times or good areas. Yeah. I'm so happy to see it come to fruition. I am expecting my signed copy as well at some point, Jared.
Of course. I've got some copies. It's also worth saying as well that, like, Cheyenne will know that of recent times I've started sending him videos of people talking about great bowlers. So he knows that the next one's about to start.
But
we'll be doing other stuff. It was great to be able to do this podcast. Me and Andy Zaltzman really want to do a big look at the list, you know, maybe later on in the UK summer. I might get Bumble on and when he's got a copy of the book and he can disagree with, because I know he disagrees with a few of the decisions in this. It's fun. I don't want to speak for me and Sean, but we don't really believe that this is like a correct list, right? Because there are so many variables. We probably agree in our tiers a little bit more and probably in the ranges that we have with players. But we are, like, me and Cheyenne don't agree 100% on this list.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, let's just talk about some of the players Varun didn't put in, actually. Gilchrist, who Cheyenne wanted in the top 50 and I didn't put in the top 50. Bill Laurie. David Warner is another player that he didn't go. I think he should have been in the long list.
Yeah.
What about Barry Richards?
Yeah. Barry Richards only plays 4 test matches. Who else? Graham Gooch is one that I've already got a lot of English people who've read this book are already going, where's Gooch? Why is not Gooch not in this list and everything else? There's a lot of great old Australian batters as well, I think, that that don't make it. But I want to talk about some others as well. Just very quickly, you've got players like Bruce Mitchell and Dudley Nourse from South Africa. Who didn't make it. Obviously, we talked about the VJs. VJ Merchant didn't make Varun's list. Arthur Morris was another one. Stan McCabe. So there's a lot of great players out there.
Aravinda?
We talk about Aravinda a lot in the book as well. So, it was a lot of fun. It was a very much a labor of love. I don't think I'd ever want to go back and have a look at how much my advance was compared to how many hours I spent on this. But we really wanted to get this right. And sometimes I would get like 80 messages in a night from Cheyenne because he would just be down a rabbit hole of some random dude that wasn't even going to make the list. And he knew he wasn't going to make the list. They'd be like, I don't know, fucking Peter May or something. Like, and we love Peter May. And Cheyenne would just get absolutely obsessed with this guy. And I'd be like, that's great, Cheyenne. How about we finish the chapter that we're writing at the moment rather than worrying about this random dude who, you know, who never made any runs away from home. But that's what it was. I'm interested to know, did it change the way you look at cricket doing something like this?
Yeah, definitely. I think I always say this, and context is really important, right? Like, just looking at the raw numbers, they don't tell you the story, right? All formats, everything in cricket, you just have to look at what is happening. And then there are so many variables, so many, like, there are no right answers, man, honestly. This is our way of thinking, but I'm pretty sure someone could come up with a very convincing list with very convincing arguments that's much different from our list, isn't it?
Yeah, agreed.
Like, talking about the top few players, but let's say after a point, like, you can make really good cases for some of the players that we haven't talked about a lot. So it's very subjective, but I really like the thought process.
Ultimately, it comes down to what you as an individual value more.
Correct.
But I can vouch as a member of the Good Areas team for like over 2 years now that working in this organization definitely does change the way you look at cricket. And that happens every day. And I'm sure like all of you guys who are listening to us and watching us would also agree to that. That's why you're here, aren't you?
I agree.
Yeah.
And, And also, a big shout out to everyone who we are going to have to split this up because it is way too long.
No chance, we can't.
So I think we'll split it up into three different sections. But thanks to everyone who has asked about this and sent information in and questioned and whatever else. Like, it really is. I see this book as a very collective effort because it probably takes someone like me to get all these disparate voices together. But I really did want as many different voices as possible. You know, you know, we had Nilesh do some of the subbing. Cheyenne did the subbing. Abhishek went through. Like, oh, we haven't talked about Clem Hill. One last player to mention. Clem Hill. Who Abhishek Mukherjee is obsessed with. And I like, and we love Clem Hill here. But again, Varun has just completely slandered Clem Hill. Not even put him on the long list.
Who's the first great left-hander that ever played? Right? Or did you guys already
mention him? Arthur Morris. Yeah. We can get rid of Arthur Morris. Yeah, but Clem Hill. But the point being is, like, as Cheyenne said before, but it's just for us, I think it was, we just wanted to get as much information on these players as we could. And it was a hell of a lot of fun all the way through. And thanks to everyone for listening. But yeah, it was a bit of a disappointing winner in the end, wasn't it? Boring.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the test match batting goat, unsurprisingly, has been voted Don Bradman. So, yep, if you were with us throughout these three episodes, then I suppose, part one, part two, part three, and lasted the entire while, well, thank you.
Yeah, we had three different batting videos and Sachin doesn't win once.
Yeah, that is crazy. but yeah, thanks for tuning in and do go and get your hands on a copy of The Art of Batting, which will be, you know, in all these different bookstores across the world on the 8th of May. And yeah, that kind of wraps up this episode of Good Areas Knockout as well. So just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. That can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And we'll be with you soon enough with more stuff. But that's all for today. Have a good one, guys. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.